God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Mark 1. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by a demon cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come at this time to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Jesus said sternly, "Be quiet and come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him. Dear friends in Christ, it was the Sabbath day, so Jesus heads to the synagogue with his four new fishing buddies, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Catch that, real men worship, and so do real women. Why? Because it is through the divine service that real life, real forgiveness, and real salvation are received. Now, as Jesus steps onto the scene to give sinners their lives back and to rescue sinners from death and the devil, Jesus stands up to proclaim the time of God's favor, to help the blind see the forgiveness that is theirs, and to set the captives free from the devil's tyranny. But something strange happens. The worship service is disrupted, not by crying babies, but by a screaming demon. Now, while this may seem unusual, it's not unusual at all. There are two key places you can expect to find demons: in unclean places and in holy places. First, you should expect to find demons in unclean places. Why? Because demons are unclean spirits. They love what is unclean, unholy, and evil. Not surprisingly, this is where the demons and the sinful world want us to go, to unclean places, to do unclean things, and to become unclean, which is a portal for the devil in your life. Now, every sin is unclean. For teenagers, unclean places often revolve around drunkenness, drugs, sex outside of marriage, pornography, the occult, rebellion. For adults, unclean places often revolve around idols and idolatries, fame and fortune, pride and pleasure. Since unclean places are where unclean spirits dwell, if you spend time in unclean places doing unclean things, you are opening the door for the devil to get a foothold in your life and to desecrate you, defile you, unholy you, and destroy you. Secondly, and this may surprise you, another place you will often find demons is in holy places, especially the church. Why is that? The reason that Jesus meets with us wherever two or three are gathered in his name is to forgive, cleanse, and holy us through the blood of Jesus, and to save us from the devil. The good news of Jesus: be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven, actually enact our deliverance from the devil. Jesus' words unlock our prison cell. His blood sets us free from Satan's tyranny. The reason you can expect to find the devil and demons in the holy place of God's house, or wherever God's word is being proclaimed, is because this is where Jesus is literally defeating the devil and rescuing us. God's house and the worship service become the front lines where the devil is fighting his hardest, trying to distract and disrupt us from hearing the good news that we are saved by Jesus' blood. In John 10, Jesus warns, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." And in 1 Peter 5, Jesus says, "Be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." So don't be surprised if the place where the devil is most active is in the church, where the flock of Jesus gathers in his name to be covered with the blood of Jesus, so that the enemy's attacks slide right off of us. For no matter how much the devil attacks us, because of the blood of Jesus, he can't make his charges stick. So he comes to disrupt and silence Jesus. The devil will work his hardest so that you and I do not hear the good news of Colossians 1. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As a result, when Jesus got up to teach about the grace of God that is already ours, the devil was not about to let that happen without a fight. Jesus didn't even have to call out the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit revealed itself as soon as Jesus started rescuing sinners. You see, your forgiveness and mine is totally unacceptable to the devil, and he will fight fang and claw to take us down to hell. Sadly, we're often more willing to go back into unclean places to do unclean things, which gives the devil a foothold in our lives, than we are to come to the holy place of God's house, where Jesus stuffs his cross and resurrection down the throat of the serpent that sets us free from Satan's tyranny. Why come to God's house? The good news of Jesus utterly destroys the devil. 1 John 3, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Why come to God's house? This is where your prison doors are swung open wide. Hebrews 2, Jesus shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy the one that held the death over us and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Why stop worshiping at St. Mattress and start worshiping at God's house? So that you may be equipped to fight the evil one. Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. And after you have done all, to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. In addition, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Which is the word of God. It's in God's house that we put on both the defensive armor of Jesus Christ to defend us from the attacks of the evil one, and it's where we learn and take up the offensive weapon of God's word and learn to use it against the evil one. Why come to God's house? On the night before Jesus was betrayed, first, he said in John 16, the prince of this world now stands condemned. And then he gave us his own holy body and his own holy blood to cleanse us of every sin the devil attacks us with. We're told that as soon as Jesus began teaching, immediately there stood up in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come at this time to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Notice, the presence of our forgiving Savior Jesus brings the unclean spirit out into the open in an attempt to silence Jesus. In other words, the disclosure of Jesus as our Savior ushers in the counter-disclosure of the demon trying to silence him. And notice, you can learn a lot from a demon. Even the demons believe that Jesus is God's Son. They also believe that Jesus has and will conquer them. We often believe the devil's winning and God's losing, especially when we look at the world. That's an absolute lie. Listen to what the demon says to Jesus in Mark 1. "Have you come at this time to destroy us?" Listen to what the demon says in Luke 8. I beg you, Jesus, do not torture me. Listen what Revelation 12 says of the devil. He is filled with rage because he knows his time is short. However, although Jesus' forgiving blood defeats the devil, do not underestimate the power of the devil to destroy Christians, divide churches, and take down pastors. Wherever Jesus is setting sinners free, you can expect the devil to fight his fiercest, which is why our Lord tells both pastors and Christians, be sober-minded, be vigilant. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, if the devil wants to destroy a church, who do you think he'll try to destroy first? The pastor. And if he can't get to the pastor, then he'll try secondly through the pastor's family to get to the pastor. Why, the pastor is God's instrument who delivers the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that nullifies the devil's hold on us. The devil will fight his hardest to keep sinners from hearing and believing God's word, that God reconciled the world to himself by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. The devil does not want me to proclaim that good news or you to hear and believe it, so he'll try to stop it at any cost. Trinity is the sixth church I've served. And while I've seen the devil attack me and my family and the sheep that I've served in countless ways, in one of those churches, not Trinity, he nearly destroyed myself, my faith, and my family. This is war, folks. And you need to pray for God, his angelic army, and Jesus' forgiving blood to protect the pastor and his family, as we also pray and fight for you against the devil. The good news is the devil is no match for Jesus. So Jesus says to this disruptive and distracting demon, he says, be quiet. And in the Greek, Jesus literally says, shut up. If there's one time you and I do not need to be polite, it's when we're fighting the devil. Next, Jesus orders the demon, come out of the man. Jesus is exercising complete authority. Jesus sort of sounds like someone scolding a puppy for chewing up the curtains. In other words, this puny demon and the devil are no match for Jesus. Now, they are much more powerful than we are, but we can defeat the devil and the demons, but only with the blood of Jesus and the power of God's word. Luther said, our Lord did not even need to speak the word. All he had to do is will the demon out of the man, and the demon would have been forced to leave. But Jesus speaks the word so that his listeners may know that Jesus has complete authority over the devil and his demons, which he does. And then Luther gives us this example in his own words of how we fight and defeat the evil one. Luther says, when the devil comes and shows me my sin, I say to the devil, yes, I have done those sins. In fact, here's some more sins that I've done that you don't even know. And I'm ashamed of them. But you still haven't defeated me. At which the devil shouts back, what do you mean I haven't defeated you? I've got you to sin again, and the wages of sin is death. To which I respond, you still have not defeated me. Because you have not and cannot defeat Christ. You could never get Jesus to sin, not even once. And he's covered me with his own righteousness. Nor could you keep Jesus from going to the cross and shedding his blood to forgive every sin I've done. And so, dear devil, until you can nullify Jesus' forgiving blood, which cleanses me of all sin, and until you can get Jesus to sin and nullify the righteousness that he's clothed me with, you still haven't defeated me. For until you can do that, God says that I am righteous and forgiven in his sight through Jesus. And if you've got a problem with that, take it up with God, because he says so. Or as one person said, whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. This is how we fight the devil and win, with Christ and his blood and his cross. The war has already been won, folks, and the devil is already defeated. Although the devil is much more powerful than you and I are, in Jesus, we don't need to be afraid of him at all. In fact, the description in Mark 1 sounds sort of like a little child throwing a temper tantrum in the candy aisle when he doesn't get the candy he wants. Jesus tells the demon, "You can't have the man, he's mine, now come out of him." And the demon shook the man violently, that's the temper tantrum, and came out of him like a disappointed little child. Not only did Jesus perform that exorcism and set that unknown churchgoer free, but he made sure that this was written down in God's word for you and me, so that we know Jesus' power over the devil and the demons that sets us free from Satan. This good news should knock your socks off. In fact, it did knock the socks off of the worshipers that day who declared, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even commands unclean spirits and they obey him." Where the people once feared the demons, they do so no longer. They now fear and revere Jesus as their Savior, who utterly defeated the devil for us and our salvation. And if the demons obey God's word to their damnation, we can trust Jesus' words of forgiveness to our salvation. In closing, the reason that the devil and the demons attack our faith so hard is because they know what we're slow to believe. Even the demons know we're saved by Jesus. But the demons fight their hardest to get us to not believe in Jesus because they want us damned in hell. The devil and the demons will try to convince you that you're not forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You are. They'll try to convince you you're not risen from death to life. You won't rise from death to life. You will. Their dirty little secret is they're lying. The devil's just shooting blanks. He's all out of ammo. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all propaganda. He's judged. The deed is done. So why come to worship? Every divine service is a hidden exorcism. And every sermon is an act of setting sinners free from Satan's tyranny. In worship, you and I are participating with Jesus in his victory over the devil and the demons. And like Jesus, we are setting sinners free, and we ourselves are being set free from the evil one.